Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was going to start off this morning's sermon with a round of Name That Tune, but I thought better of it, and I'm probably saving myself from some real embarrassment. But the tune that I was going to have you try and name, which I have to still hold myself back from starting it, is an old Four Tops song, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with, and the name of it is That Same Old Song. Remember how that starts? What a great song. And what's the main theme of that song? The main theme of it is it's the same old song, but with a different meaning since you've been gone. And you know, we are diversity junkies. We are variety junkies. We want things different all the time, everywhere we go. We like to have exciting things happen. Things show up in different colors. You know, we don't like to wear the same kind of clothes all the time because visually it's just not very exciting for us. We don't like to hear the same kinds of things all the time because that gets boring too. So we look at, though, when we come to things like the church, we find that we hear the same old song all the time, don't we? Year after year, we're going to hear the same kinds of readings read to us. We're going to hear the same words. Every time we come and celebrate the divine liturgy, we're going to hear virtually the exact same words prayed. Every single week, same old song. So if there's going to be any hope for us in terms of our realization of what is happening here, evidently, it doesn't lie in the tune of the song or the words of the song so much as in the hearer of the song and maybe even the singer of the song. You know, this morning we hear again one of those lessons. How many times have we heard these parables? And this one ends up kind of in a congruous sort of way repeating what I just said, because at the end of it, Jesus says, as he is apt to do in a number of places, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, right before that, he had spoken of, in his explanation of the parable, of the soil that was good soil and how it bore much fruit. So the question gets to be, because there have been books written about every part of this parable, and much can be said about all the parts, but when all is said and done, the basic question is, do you want to be fertile soil? Do you want to be rich soil? Do you want to be that humus, that dark earth that bears much fruit, that you plant things in it, you water it, you let the sun shine on it, and things grow, or not? Now, when we do that kind of examination, when we do that sort of looking, all of us can look in a different kind of way, because the first thing we're going to say, naturally, I would think, would be, of course I do. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be useful to my neighbor. I want to be all those things. But when we look and see whether we're doing the kinds of things that would equate the Word of God being sprinkled out, spread out on good soil, on fertile soil, are we seeing that in our lives? If we take a moment and look, do we find ourselves bearing much fruit? Do we find ourselves doing the kind of gardening that I've spoken of, oh, probably a while back now, but in the same old song kind of way, the song is the same. You know, and the words are going to be the same. And so what does it take? If you're going to be wanting to be good soil, so we won't even get up to the planting yet, what do you have to do? What are you going to have to do first if you have a plot of land? Somebody yell out to me what you're going to have to do with that land first. Okay, you may have to clear it. There may be trees that you're going to have to cut down. Some of those trees could be really big trees, but you're going to have to clear them if you want to have anything grow fruitfully from that land. Then what happens when you cut down the trees? The clearing isn't done yet. You got to dig up the stumps, and the stumps are going to have not only that big old heavy stump that they're going to, you know, you get your Chevrolet and you hook it up to and you chop away at the roots and then you yank it out of there. Not only that, you're probably going to need to go a little deeper and get some of those smaller roots that are in there if you really want to do a thorough job. And then what else do you have to do in clearing the land? You're going to need to pull out weeds. There's probably some undergrowth, maybe some pretty deep undergrowth, some pretty dark undergrowth that has to be torn out. Thorns and things like that, stickers, burrs, all that sort of stuff. And then you're going to have to get the stones out of there, the rocks. You may have to do some once again. Get the Chevy out there again. Drag those boulders out of there before you can go digging around for what would be the smaller rocks. And then you have to put those into a basket or wherever you're going to put them to be able to drag those off the land. And then when you're done with that, maybe you're ready to start to do something with that plot of land. Now, if we look at what that's going to look like for us spiritually, it's not difficult to make an analogy. That if I look at my life as that plot of land, what are, let's say, the trees that might need to be cleared? You know, God willing, we don't have too many trees, that we're not taken over by the kinds of sinfulness and the sorts of things in our lives that would equate to large trees with roots that go very deep, that are going to need some real terrible excising to be done away with. But when we get down to the weeds, when we get down to some burrs and stickers, when we get down to some needing to you know, get the rake out, you know, and do a little bit of hoeing when we're there, when we think of those kinds of things in our spiritual life, I don't think it's very difficult for us to see that there are things there that once again, in the same old song kind of fashion, because I hear our confessions for those of us who faithfully come, and very often we have to admit it's the same old song. You know, there isn't that much that's changed. Well, why not? Well, because even if we're working on the clearing, and even if we manage to clear some of the space, something's got to happen then, right? Because once the space is clear, in fact, I have a terrible story I've told some of you about my backyard, where at the beginning of the summer, did I tell that from up here? We cleared the flower bed that needed to be cleared and replanted. And then, after it was cleared, wonderfully cleared, nice and clear and ready to go, I let it sit for about 3 months, totally untended. You know what happens in 3 months? If you don't, thank God, because it's a pretty horrible thing. I had weeds as tall as I am. Some of the ugliest looking weeds. Weeds that I was afraid to walk past, as so they might reach out and grab me. It was really a horrific thing. So I chopped some down and I got some spray and I killed those weeds. And then it got even uglier. Because now they weren't only kind of long and lanky, but now they were brown and ugly, and I had to worry if I had poisoned the dog, you know, who would be wandering through there. And the weeds kind of laid there for a while, and I had to go out there and take care of all that one more time. And it is now a nice flower bed. So it is possible out there in my yard to do those kinds of things. If it's possible out there in my yard, it is likely that the same kinds of principles apply to my life. And then I have to look and see, what level of weedy, ugly-looking garden am I willing to have my life be an example of? You know, what kind of junk is there on that land? What kind of clearing have I done? Do I do it regularly? And am I, once the garden is cleared, am I planting any seed? Because as I just related to you, if I leave that nice, cleared plot empty, something is going to grow there. And if I don't determine what I want to grow there, and if I don't pay attention to it daily and watch for the stuff that's going to start growing back, it will be in no time a mess, and sometimes, as I related, of even a worse mess than in the beginning. So, what do we do? If the plot of land that is my soul, if the soil of my heart is ready to go, if I've gotten that far, if I'm fortunate enough that I've maybe struggled to that point, what next? Do I want my soul to be fertile? Do I want it to bear fruit? And this is the same old song, hard part of this, because there are no new things that anybody can tell us. There are no new lessons to be learned. There are no new methods to be applied. I mean, you can read, as I have, you can read as many books as you want about these things. You can do many programs about these things, but it's still going to boil down to that same simple message of clearing, tending to, planting, and then tending to the things that are growing. Are you doing that? Do you look and see if you're doing that? Or do you perhaps not want to look because you might be a little bit afraid of what you see? And our comfort is once again our biggest enemy in that regard. Because most of us, even with the degree of growth and overgrowth and some trees, and maybe even some of the big trees, you know, on our plot of land, some of us are pretty comfortable with it and more than willing to just keep a fence in the backyard around those things. So for the most part, nobody has to see it but me and maybe a few people who know me well. So the yard down there is a good example. Because with the fence there, not too many people could really tell what was going on the other side. But I knew what was going on because I walked by it every day. And my wife knew what was going on because she wouldn't walk out in the backyard and couldn't sit there with her friends because it was so horrendous and ugly. But we are like that. We have that going on in us. And it's not an inconsequential condition. If we were to live forever, then we might have all the time in the world to clear those things and tend to them. But we don't. We are beings that will come to an end in this earthly life. And we are beings that are part of a community that believes that after this life, there is in truth life after this death, after the death that we will go through, and that there will be consequences to how we've lived here, how we've taken care of the soil of our souls, of our hearts. Now, right there is the place where some of the weeds and maybe even the largest tree. A lot of us, I think, probably have one big old tree occupying most of our plot of land, and that tree is, there's nothing anybody can teach me. There's nothing anybody can show me. I don't need really to do anything. I don't need to pay attention to anything outside of my own observation and my own judgment. I don't need to take these things seriously because I know what I know and I'm happy with that. But that can be very debilitating to us. It can be very damaging. It can be ultimately totally destructive to us. I don't know how to get across that point any better than I try to do in singing the same old song. Yeah, and there are many places where we could go to hear variations on that theme were we to want to hear them. There are books all over the place, and again, any one of us who has a smartphone can access and make ourselves available to all kinds of wondrous things. But yet we don't do it. Yet we don't pay attention to it. And any of you who do, please forgive me if I'm not speaking to you this morning. But my sense is that because I look around and I can see just in the outward things, you know, I know from looking at outward things that the inward things can't be all that healthy. I know them for myself in my attempts to pray, my attempts to read the Fathers, in attempts to read the Bible. I know that those outward kinds of things are an indication of something wrong in here that needs some serious work. And I venture to say, figuring that you are as human as I am, I'm assuming, that you're in probably some of the same boat. But do we want to stay there forever? Do we want to have those weeds, that undergrowth, those burrs and thorns in there for the rest of our lives? I hope not. So, my friends, as we move forward, as we go through this life, as we hear the same old song sung to us all the time in many different kinds of ways, perhaps, and maybe even with different tunes and different words, but the same song, let us pray that we will be able to start to listen to it so that we may be able to hear a different meaning in that song, and having heard that different meaning, be able to change, to grow, to repent, to be transformed, and to be ultimately fruitful. Should any of you have difficulty in finding where to begin, give me a call, let me know. It's not hard. In fact, it's the same old song, simple. It's already things that you know, but things that we just have a hard time doing. So may God bless us with a change of heart. May God bless us with an assistant gardener who is the Holy Spirit, who may help us clear these things so that the beauty of God's garden and the flowers and the vegetables and all that wondrous stuff can appear in a way that will correlate to us blooming in our own lives with each other. Amen.